103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
We're 3.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show with Brian, Peter, David, Bell, and all our guests this week. With thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on greensacks.ie. Contact The Sod Show at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, and sodshow.com. Yeah, our website's working this week. Little problem last week, all sorted. Action-packed this week, lots to get through, so let's tell you what we've got. We've got Wormeries in Cork, we have David Corscadden in the garden, we have Peter Donegan speaking with the Federation of Irish Beekeepers Associations. All coming up in the next 25 minutes on 103.2 Dublin City FM. But first, it's Wormeries, and let's go to Cork.
Good afternoon, Sod Show listeners. I hope everyone is enjoying the glorious heat and sunshine we've been having, and you've all been able to get out in your gardens and actually sit back and relax and enjoy what's happening. For me, it's been watering can after watering can most days, trying to keep up with the pots at the front. And the other day, I managed a little bit of weeding, and I even braved some edging when it got a little cooler. So I've part of my lawn reclaimed from the border and vice versa. I think I said the last time that my favourite time in the summer is where you can just stop and you just might need to mow the lawn or whatever, and you can just enjoy what's happening. And you sit out and listen to the bird song and watch what's happening right before your eyes. It's pretty fascinating. At the moment, we're watching all the ants carry food back to their nests, and we have quite a few nests in the garden. And once they don't bite me, I don't mind. The bumblebees as well. There seems to be so much more this year than last year, which is hopeful, seeing as they're in serious decline. And I love listening to them, and especially when they settle deep inside petals and their buzzing gets like really loud, and it's the sound that summer has really, really arrived. As I mentioned before, we had a couple of reasons that we were excited, and one of them was a wormery. I'm not sure why exactly, but we suddenly got into our heads that we needed one. We already have two compost bins. One is one of the round plastic green ones that you can get in most DIY shops or garden centres. And we emptied that the other day and used some of that compost. And the other one I made up of pallets that I got in the local co-op. And the roof is made of an old chicken house that the ponies decided they would dismantle with their bottoms. So we're all about the recycling and the reusing. But we are quite mindful of waste in the house, and we don't have too much compost. So I found there was a lot of carbon going into our compost, and that's mostly because of the pet rabbit. Yes, I do have an endless list of animals in my house. But basically in her cage, there is newspaper and sawdust and rabbit poo. So, and as we don't have a lot of food waste, my sister actually started a compost bin at work, and that is helping to bulk ours up a little bit. And I also need to be a little bit less lazy when it comes to mowing the lawn and actually raking up the grass mowings and throwing that in as well, rather than just leaving it out there for it to be dragged around the house. So basically we got our Wormery as a present because a friend wasn't using it anymore, and she was more than happy to give it to us. But I've been doing a little bit of research online, and the originalorganics.ie website has them, and you can get them from anywhere between 50 and 100 euro depending on what type you're looking for. The type that we have is called a multi-tray system. It's called the Tiger, and it has three trays. You can also get a two tray and a four tray. This will all make a little bit more sense if you can log on to my blog, limster.com, and you can check out pictures. Because truthfully, I had no idea what a wormery looked like until I actually saw one, and it wasn't quite what I was expecting. Basically, our wormery is made of recycled plastics, and it's about 20 inches high, and it's 16 foot wide and deep. And it's a tray system, and there's three trays. So when you get the worms, which arrive in the post, and they're a special type of worm called tiger worms, you can't use just normal garden earthworms that you can dig up. But basically you line the bottom tray with newspaper, and you get a special compost, like a starting off compost with the worms, and then you add the worms along with that, which also has about 150 worms and worm eggs, and then you put on a very fine layer of compost. Now I've read and I've heard that you can't put certain things in, like citrus, so no oranges or lemons, and also no onions. But I've heard that you can, so it kind of is up to yourself, really. But basically what happens is, the idea is that as the unit fills up, the worms follow the food into the tray above, and that leaves all the lovely compost into the bottom tray, which is full of nutrients and it's organic. So this means by the time that the worms get to the top tray, and the top tray is full, the bottom tray is ready to use, and you start the cycle all over again. Another genius feature, which I love, is there's a little tap at the side, so the excess moisture from the compost runs into the very bottom in a little chamber, and you can then open the tap, and voila, you have a lovely nutrient-rich liquid feed. So far, we are on the bottom tray, but we'll be moving on to the next tray very soon. When you get the wormery, for the first week you don't touch it, you just leave them be, and you just leave them settle in. And at the moment, we're checking them quite regularly, as we've found that a few of them can escape into the chamber where the liquid feed goes, so they need rescuing. Also, in this heat at the moment, they are likely to dry out, and it's important that you check for that, and that the wormery is in a shady spot. So the type of worms, like I said, they're called tiger worms because they're stripy, and when we first got them, they're quite small, and but now, just in the 3 weeks or so that we've had them, they're looking really well fed. I would definitely recommend a wormery to anyone, especially those who are maybe starting off composting. It's really easy. It's compact. You can keep it inside if you need to, especially if you're tight for space. And it's far more fascinating than just throwing your compost, your kitchen waste, into a bin made of pallets. You can actually see how it works and watch the worms grow. Like I said, the website where we got our worms from is originalorganics.ie, and they have every kind of information that you need there, and definitely worth checking out. So that's all from me this week, and maybe hopefully next year I'll be talking to you about my beehives. That's my next mission. So I hope you continue to enjoy the sun and you're out in the garden as much as you can be. Bye.
Thanks, Belle. Belle blogs at limster.com and is on Twitter at Limster, LIMMSTER. Belle mentioned 16 foot on the width and depth of the wormeries. I'm sure she meant inches. I'm looking at the pictures online, and I'm sure that that's 16 inches. So let's not have a long argument about feet and inches and distance and measurement between Cork and Dublin, but maybe that can be clarified next week. 103.2, it is Dublin City FM, the Sod Show, with Brian, Peter, David and Belle and loads of others. Coming up, we have David Corscadden in the garden. We like going to the back of David's garden with the microphones and seeing what he's getting up to in this hot weather. But first, we're going to Peter Donegan, and he's talking all things bees.
103.2 Dublin City FM. It's been about 4 years since I spoke to a gentleman laughing in the background by the name of Graeme Hall. Graeme, do you want to explain to people where you're from and what you do?
Yeah, I am from the Federation of Irish Beekeepers Associations, and which is trying to explain beekeeping to people who are interested, and particular gardeners, because bees pollinate all the garden plants and produce a rather nice product as a result of all that pollination.
Break this down for me. We hear stuff on the news. We hear the bee population is dying. There's a crisis. What is the negative of plus of tsunamis of bees going missing? Somebody's robbing them. They're selling them in supermarkets. They're all dying. The world's going to end. How far off the mark are we on that?
Well, I'm sure in the really, really long term, the world is going to end, but I don't think before the end of the interview. No, bees are definitely under pressure with a disease that's around and under pressure from tough weather, which they've often had before. Last summer was bad for them. The longer autumn was bad. The long winter was bad. And they have to try coping with the conditions. Losses are higher. The researchers are trying to catch up on exactly how much, but they're definitely high. The bees that are around are still getting in to pollinate things well. In the last 2 weeks, things have come back a lot more in the way of weather. And by then, there's still, if the weather stayed nice as it is the next couple of weeks, they may still be very good in pollinating this summer. They won't get an overall good crop. Things are too late for good yield from the oilseed rape and the apples and some of the earlier crops. But no, it's not at that pressure they're under, but they can still cope.
Part of the wee little six-year-old that recurs inside my head says, how the flip did they manage to do bee counts in this country? I mean, they hardly go out and count them, really. Or how do they come to the conclusion based on how many are numbers dropping?
Well, I think they can still do counts from reports that are around that people have of losses, which at least are of an idea from what's around. That it tends to be the bigger ones who are going to get more accurate censuses. So they're going to give reasonably good numbers. The wild ones that are around aren't going to matter as much because, particularly with the varroa mite, the wild numbers are down. So they've still got a reasonable account of what losses are like. And the people who are doing that are the ones most interested in getting back into bees. But undoubtedly, numbers have been hit by weather we've had.
Does that go back to a lot of people were saying last year they had bad fruit? Some of them blamed it on the bees. I just blamed it on really bad weather and the bees didn't come because the weather was so bad. Is that a fair way to phrase it?
I think it is a fair way to phrase it from last year, but I think it's also that the bad weather later in last year meant that queens didn't mate as well as they otherwise would. They went into winter then not laying as well with workers or anything like that. Therefore, colonies went into winter weaker, and with a long spring as well of no good weather, they definitely would have had losses that were more than they're around. Those type of conditions happened before varroa mite was around. People who remember the winter of 85-6 with a technical drought for 3 weeks with a strong east wind, the losses then were massive, and that's the type of thing we're comparing it with in beekeeping.
I think it was that cold last year. I don't think anybody mated, not even in the human population.
I don't know if the Rotunda or Hollis Street would come up with that one either, but maybe they would.
Somewhere in between all of this, the big question that exists is, I used to grow plants under my bed when I was 5. You grew up one day and went, no, bees are for me. What happened? How did you get into this? And where did people think you were a little odd because you liked bees so much?
Probably did and do. But I think I got into it starting not from the nature end as much as some people did. A lot of people got into it by nature. I think I started on saying honey is nice. Let's see how we can get from there. Because after all, if it's nice, where do you get it from? How do you get it? Maybe it's interesting to find out. And then when you start finding out, you say maybe it's more interesting to get a colony and start looking. Then you say maybe another one would be better again, and maybe you'd learn a bit more from it in the pollinates there. But still, the end result is kind of tempting.
Do you remember when you first walked out and said, Mom, see the man in the scary white suit? I want to get one of them. Mom, can you buy me? Do you remember that day?
No, I remember being told frequently that I said something about that for Mr. B, but the day that it happened, I don't remember. Must have been too little for that.
What age were you when you really got into it, though?
I was really got into it only when I was about 20. And not like I say, I was really liking honey, which I reckon I might have done like honey from 20 months. But that was talking about 20 years for getting into it.
Was there a significant other in your life when you developed that huge interest in bees? Because I've got friends of mine who are into motorbikes, and they say to me, oh, where are you going? Well, I'm going such and such to Mondello with my good lady. And I've got this picture of you saying, well, come on out and I'll show you this beehive. I've bought you a white suit. And
No, don't have a significant other. That's not a problem. It would be a precondition in any event. That shows how mad beekeepers get.
Bring this back to me. I'm 5, I'm 6, I'm 19, I'm 42. I've all of a sudden just copped on in my latter or very younger years that there is something in between all of this media bombardment of everybody's going to die if we don't save the bees. And I want to do something that in my logic tells me that is going to be beneficial. How much does it cost? Do I need a 500 euro camera? Do I need a white suit? Can I buy one secondhand? Where, for the guy at home, yep. Actually, hold it there. We're going to go for a song of the week. Brian, give me something bees. There is that song, No Rain, isn't there, by Blind Melon? And we'll continue this back after the break.
No, Peter. No. We've got Muddy Waters, 24 hours, so we have to play it.
I missed my baby last night. I'm holding her, yeah, my arm. From holding her, yeah, my arms. Well, you know she's been gone 24 hours, and that's 23 hours too long. Yeah, you know if I had $1 million, I would give every dime to bring her back home. Heart been bleeding. It's so sad to be alone. Well, you know she's been gone 24 hours, and that's 23 hours too long. Yeah, you know I ain't going east, I ain't going west. I don't believe I'm going north and south. Well, you know I ain't going east, I ain't going west. You know I ain't going north and south. Well, you know I believe I go red round the corner to my baby's house. Let me hear you.
And that's 23. Well, and that's 23 hours too long.
On 103.2 Dublin City FM and Ireland's best podcast, still laughing in the background, is Graeme Hall. This isn't a repeat, folks, of the intro. He actually is still laughing. He is that happy a gentleman. Maybe I need to eat some more honey and be even happier. Graeme, we're on the verge of asking, you want to take up beekeeping as a hobby. The big question is, where do I start? Where, how much? Is it an ignorant amount of money to get going in it?
No, and in fact, this is the type of information we have in more detail on the stand, but what at least is being offered there by one bee supplier in terms of equipment to get into bees is €370. Bees are needed as well as that, and that's more likely to 100 to 150. So your original comment of the €500 is pretty much on the mark for getting into it. I think the other side of it is the equipment is getting in the knowledge, and that is a matter of trying to get onto your local beekeeping association to know what course there is, or the national course run in Gormanston College from starting the 21st of July. But the website on irishbeekeeping.ie gives all the details of local associations. They're the guys who will say what's on locally in the area if you feel you can't get to Gormanston College for the countrywide one, because it's the know-how as well as the equipment that are needed. Going in with the equipment and the bees alone is not going to be needed for that.
Break this down for me. I've got Brian in my left ear back in studio, and he's asking me this really simple question. I put a wee little what looks like a miniature house in my back garden. I have my white suit on. Yeah. Do the bees all of a sudden appear there? How does it work?
You can, if you're lucky, get a swarm to land there, but it is a matter of luck. You're better, again, having talked to your local association in terms of doing the course there, find out from them who in the area has bees for sale, where they are and how you can get them. That's part of the know-how as well, is knowing what you expect bees to do, but also knowing from that where to get them.
Excellent stuff. In the meantime, you do have a wonderful website if people want to get in touch.
At irishbeekeeping.ie gives all the details of that. And as I say, it gives details of the summer course and everything else that's involved nationwide. From that also, reference to all the local beekeeping sites, the guys that have those.
Graeme Hall, it is an absolute pleasure once again. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much indeed, Peter. That was great.
Thanks, Peter. Excellent stuff. We're tight for time. So to close the show, we'll be going to David Corscadden, who'll be looking at what plants to attract bees you could put in your garden in just a moment. But finally, thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet, greensacks.ie. To close, over to David Corscadden.
Hey, Brian, and a big massive hello to all the lovely Sideshow listeners out there. I hope you've all been enjoying the great weather that we've been having for the past week. It's been quite enjoyable to be out in the garden for the past few days because the whole place is literally just alive with activity. There's been birds flying in and out of the garden, getting water from the water bath and feeding on the bird table. And I think most appropriately for this show, the garden has just been covered in bees for the past few days. But I noticed that they're only going to certain plants in the garden. When I say they're only going to certain plants, they favour certain plants in the garden. And they particularly love my lamb's ear that's planted all around my pond. And they've been visiting my honeysuckle like it was going out of fashion. There was at least 30 bees at it each time I walked past it. And I suppose if I was a bee, I'd probably be doing the same thing. Every time I walk past it, it's just a great plant to have anywhere near a patio, or like as I have it at my back door, because when you brush past it, the scent that comes off it in the evening is just amazing. But I kind of set myself a bit of an assignment for this week, and it was to kind of try and research some more plants that I could include in the garden that would be bee friendly and maybe attract some more into the garden, because I'm very pro bees in my garden, especially around the orchard. I like to encourage all the bees around there to help pollinate all the fruit. And now that I have a fairly successful vegetable patch down the end of the garden, I want to try and encourage some bees down there for the same reason, to make sure all the veg that I grow next year will be pollinated. So I did a bit of research, and I think the list of plants that really attract bees is endless, but some of the ones that kind of spiked my interest and that I want to kind of hunt down and get from my own garden were things like foxgloves and sedums and rubeckia, or as they're sometimes called, black-eyed Susan, which I find hilarious because Susan's my sister's name, so I always love the name of that plant. And I was amazed with the amount of herbs that will attract bees into a garden, and I suppose it's only kind of when it's pointed out to you that you realise, oh yeah, I've noticed a lot of bees around those plants. So things like thyme and lavender and rosemary, they're all great at attracting bees into a garden as well. And a few weeks ago, I was out in Powers Court taking photos for my latest blog post for their website. And as I was walking around, I noticed a Cotoneaster damari plant that was growing near the foot of the Pepperpot Tower. And from a distance, it literally looked like the plant was moving. But it was only when I got much closer, I noticed that there was literally hundreds and hundreds of bees in amongst all the branches. And it was just covered in little tiny white flowers. If you were rushing past, you'd barely notice them. But the bees absolutely love them. So it's definitely a plant that I want to try and source a few for my garden. And another interesting thing that I learned, and it kind of fits in with a blog post that I wrote during the week about lawns. I kind of joined a debate on a fellow blogger's page about lawns, and how the two of us are very pro having, I suppose you'd call them weeds. I like to think of them as flowers, but I like having clover and daisies and buttercups in my lawn. I'm not going to run out and spray a load of chemicals on my lawn just so I have a perfectly green lawn. But the upside of really liking things like clover in your lawn is that it's a brilliant source of food for bees. Bees love red clover and white clover, so it's another added bonus for being a bit environmentally friendly and not spraying your lawn with a load of chemicals to get rid of the weeds. So I think for now I better stop talking and actually head back outside while the sun's still shining and get some more work done. And I will let you know how I get on with sourcing some plants to attract some more bees into my garden. Until next time, guys.
Thanks at David Corscadden. Thanks at Donegan Gardens, thanks at Limster, and thanks Power Green IRL, our sponsors GreenSex. Talk to you all next week. Take care. Bye bye. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife.